first to Victoria, though, and another 11 Victorians with coronavirus have died in the last day. All were aged care residents, ranging in age from their 70s to one woman who was over 100. The state recorded another 439 new cases today, but still it seems hundreds of Victorians infected with the virus are refusing to stay at home as required, prompting the Premier to announce a crackdown. Here's Samantha Donovan in Melbourne.
For Victoria Police, enforcing the coronavirus rules often brings danger. The Chief Commissioner, Shane Patton.
Last night, a 26-year-old policewoman was on patrol with another partner down in the Frankston area. During that time, they approached a 38-year-old woman who wasn't wearing a mask. After a confrontation and being assaulted by that woman, those police officers went to ground and there was a scuffle. And during that scuffle, this 38-year-old woman smashed the head of a policewoman several times into a concrete area on the ground.
That woman has been charged with several offences and released on bail because she had no criminal history. The police officer has concussion. Chief Commissioner Patton says police are increasingly dealing with people who don't think the law applies to them.
In the last week, we've seen a trend, an emergence, if you like, of groups of people, small groups, but nonetheless concerning groups who classify themselves as sovereign citizens, whatever that might mean. We've seen them at checkpoints, baiting police, not providing their name and address. On at least three or four occasions in the past week, we've had to smash the windows of people in cars and pull them out of there so they could provide their details because they weren't telling us where they were going. They weren't adhering to the Chief Health Officer guidelines. They weren't providing their name and their address. There are consequences for your actions, and if you're not doing the right thing, we will not hesitate to issue infringements, to arrest you, to detain you where it's appropriate.
In the last week or so, 3,000 Victorian homes have been door-knocked to make sure a person who's tested positive to the virus is isolating at home. But more than 800 of those people couldn't be found. A clearly frustrated Victorian Premier has today announced the fine for positive cases and their close contacts breaking the Chief Health Officer's rules will be lifted to $4,957, the highest on-the-spot fine in Victorian law. If a person ends up in court for repeated breaches, they could be hit with a $20,000 penalty. Daniel Andrews.
Every single positive case will be door-knocked multiple times, random and repeat door knocks, as well as all close contacts will also be visited on the same basis. You are expected to be found at home.
Another 500 soldiers are coming to Victoria to help with those checks, and another 300 health workers will join them. The Chief Commissioner of Victoria Police, Shane Patton, says fines are issued to deter people, but he doesn't know how many of the penalties are being paid. But the Premier is sending a warning.
There is a process to avoid a fine ultimately, but it's against a very high threshold. Anyone who thinks this is not serious would be very wrong. The fines will be issued and we will pursue Victorians who have done the wrong thing for the payment of those fines. Be in no doubt about that.
But will increasing the amount of fines encourage compliance? Barrister and RMIT law lecturer Greg Barnes says there's evidence that tactic doesn't work.
General deterrence is really built on mythology. It assumes that if you increase fines or increase forms of penalty, that those who attempted to commit offences will in fact desist from doing that. There are numerous studies in the United States and in the UK. What they show is that it's not the level of the fines, it's the question of whether people think they're going to be caught that is a much greater deterrent. Now, even given you've got a population of over 6 million in Victoria, even if you had, you know, you have law enforcement at maximum capacity, there still will be people who will take a risk and decide that they're going to step outside the rules. And because the consequences of that could be catastrophic, because we're talking about COVID, the question is whether you then say, look, let's resort to positive incentives to ensure that people are less likely to take that risk.
What sort of positive incentives?
In the United States, they've trialled direct payments to individuals, generally in relation to the issue of gun crime. I think it's been tried in Washington and also in California. And there's some literature around in the United States that suggests that in order to get them to comply with the law, in some cases, you're better off giving them a payment for compliance, because then they are less likely, the evidence shows to date, of then going out and committing an offence.
That's pretty galling to those of us who are doing the right thing and certainly don't expect to be paid for it.
It is galling, and the optics of it are extremely difficult, but the question is whether or not continually increasing fines works.
Barrister and RMIT law lecturer Greg Barnes, Samantha Donovan with that report.